Okay, now it's back on. And I'm turning off the Skype again. Sorry about that.
And we're talking about 529, right?
Sorry? So there's
we're talking
PR,
about 529?
Yes, we're talking about 529. Patrick made a PR for it, 665.
Oh, right.
665 has a lot of friction and, you know, none of us really like what it's trying to do. So Brent and I talked last week and he offered to, or not last week, 3 weeks ago, and he offered to take a stab at it.
And then promptly forgot, so I can, I can actually do that.
Okay, awesome. On interop, there are two other issues. One is testing interop, which is 6.5.9, and one is updating the language for testing, 6.5.7. And they're both hanging on the same point, which is how do we actually want to test this and what do we want to do? We had a conversation with Ori, and I think the last comment we made was we want to have an endpoint that is pretty straightforward that we're going to use for testing, and it's like a slash validate endpoint, right? We could do the dry run, it's a dry run equivalent to a presentations endpoint, which lets you be able to test everything without the implication of like posting the schema and storing in all that other stuff. You obviously can do whatever you want, but it's just a way to make it more straightforward, right? Patrick responded to that, saying this should be an enveloped profile presentation. And, or you responded, hey, use post to create, get to retrieve, and you're retrieving validation results. I think we're hitting a point where we have consensus, right? Which is, let's create a second endpoint with the name TBD. That's entire purpose of it is to get you the results after validation verification of your presentation. And with the implication being, please don't store this presentation. I wanted to get both of your reactions onto that.
Please forgive me if this is a naive question, but do we actually have to test this at all?
If we don't test it, then we're building an interop profile that we can't even make sure that we are interoping against each other with.
We're releasing V1 of an interop profile that we're planning on moving over to CVP and SVIP space anyway to continue working on there.
True. So you're saying we don't even need to test at all?
I'm just wondering, like, what if the answer is...
we're done?
We don't do this. We're just saying, we released V1, we say we're done, we still have the pretty graphic from when we all tested it before, and...
we call it a day?
We call it a day. Just a thought. If folks are like, nah, we really should test it, then I'm not going to fight that, but I'm just... What if we didn't?
Okay. Initial reaction is, I guess the current tests are fine. We've tested it for like 3 years and we're fine, right? We don't have to do a lot more. And I don't know the process. So I think Ori corrected me on this because I was under the impression that to go to whatever the acronym is, final community draft something, you need to actually have tests in it. But he corrected me and he said, no, you really don't. Like, you can just say we're done, we're good to go, and publish it.
Right.
Nis, I guess, what's your feeling on this?
It's FCTS. I would like to, but I've feel like it's not important enough. And our arguments that we found inconsistencies with specific algorithms that we were using, we did that. And then we fixed it, and we've been interoperating ever since. And I do echo Brent's questioning, what is the actual value in continuously doing that test? Is it worth the effort? Like, it looks good, but beyond looking good, I also struggle to see the actual value that you get from it.
So at this point, it sounds like nobody's saying we absolutely need to test it here. And so if challenged on that by other folks, we can say we've thoroughly tested it and we only took things out. We didn't really change anything. So we did test it and now we're going to move on. All right, so for trace interop, I need to get my PR in, and that's the last PR that we need.
Yeah, basically.
Or does the interop testing still need to be updated? Even though we're not going to bother.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, there's a section, update section on interop testing, number 657. Yeah. I'm assuming we can just close that.
Yeah. So I put up a comment saying, we just had a conversation. There's not enough value in keeping tests running, et cetera, et cetera. And as long as it's not blocker for FCGS, then we should close this issue and 657. And I put a pending close label on it. One outstanding thing we should do is turn off the GitHub actions, the GitHub workflows that are constantly being triggered, because that's just wasting resources. That's up. Like, once we have Brent's last PR in, we close it out. We have another PR that just kills the GitHub actions, and we're done. It kills the cron version of it.
I think we should also remove Section 8 interoperability testing entirely.
Okay, that's fair.
Because it's all about, the links in it don't even really work. And it's all about, hey, we're continuously, it's literally saying we have GitHub actions that are continuously doing this thing, and we're getting rid of those. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right.
I updated the comment to reflect that. Please react to it. And I think we just keep this comment up with the pending close tag for a week. We see if anybody screams between now and next week. And if nobody does, we just close it out and we move on, right?
I mean, actually assign me to 657 and I'll write a PR that removes it. That'll be our update section.
That's good. 657. Do you know what the, I can't assign you because you're not, can you just write a comment on it so I can assign you? What's the next steps to go to FCGS?
We show up at a CCG meeting, or we contact the chairs and say, we believe that these work items are ready for final working group, whatever community group, something. FCGS.
Final community group spec, a standard or something. Okay. So,
We say, hey, we believe this is ready, which will probably invite a bunch of review from a bunch of people whose opinions are very valuable.
That's fine. Let's get them and let's figure out what we need to do and let's knock it out. Okay. So are we good with the game plan of next week? Nobody screams. We get your PR in. We close it out. We contact chairs. We move. We see what happens. Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
All right. Wonderful. We're done with that. Let us go to vocab. Let's start with the one that you were just talking about, Nis, which I can't find.
832.
Actually, the most recently updated, right? Yeah, 832. There you go. So, it's this one. So Brent and I talked 3 weeks ago, and we started talking about where we see the disconnect happening, right? And I think what we're thinking is the disconnect happened because we're trying to put two separate ideas in the same thing, and we were talking past each other. What I want to do is separate the three separate use cases. The first is I need a way to make the legal disclaimer that says, hey, this is an intent to import workflow, and I'm going to be sending you a bunch of stuff on this workflow, and all of them are going to be covered with this legal disclaimer, right? The second thing I want to do is I want to say, by the way, that disclaimer covers these specific products I want to import. And if I have other products on this workflow, they are not intended to be imported, but rather they are intended to be informative, or they're intended to be background, or they're consumed, or whatever. They are extra information for you, the person who's consuming this workflow, to understand, but they are not the actual product that's being imported. And then third, which is the credentials that reflect the products that are, you know, the generic credentials that we're talking about in our workflow, right? Like product credentials or whatever it is that we're talking about. So to me, these are the three separate ideas that I want to talk about. Does that resonate, Nis?
I think I understand your point. And I think item two is the point of the disconnect. So we agree on one, and I like to kind of call it part of the protocol. It is to have a signature involved early on. So no arguments there. And I think item three sounds like that's the normal order of conducting imports and entry filings. Is that correctly understood?
Yeah, number three is just all the stuff that I'm sending via a workflow. It's my products, my events, my documents, my whatever. The stuff that I'm sending in a workflow, right?
Yeah. Item two is, sounds like we are reinventing how you about what it is you import. And that's what I'm reacting against. And I guess I have several concerns around it. Let me start by, and Brent and I talked about this the other day also. At the very high level, if we truly want to roll this out for industry trade to follow our example, and if we hope to gain adoption, and we hope for CBB to be successful in rolling this out, we want to minimize the amount of obstacles and business process changes that will be required for trade to pick up and use this. And that's my main worry, is that this is something new, and everyone will ask, wait, this is new information. Why are you asking me this now? Normally I don't have this information, or I don't have it at that level. And it's just going to create confusion and an additional step in a business process that everyone is trying to optimize. I question whether CBP is even allowed to demand additional data. They're under like it's, I don't know the exact laws and what have you, but I do know that they cannot demand more data than what they're allowed to already demand. Mm-hmm. So it would have to be optional or non-mandatory, I suppose. But that aside, I'm particularly worried about the additional step in the business process.
Okay.
I've been here before. I was part of a huge project, a $1 billion project that was intended to change the world of supply chains, and it doesn't work that well. Like many have tried, the problem with supply chains is that it consists of very many, very different participants that are interacting. And they attempt to do it with minimal friction. And the way that has then, what has shaped is a set of standard documents that are required for very specific purposes. In order to import into the United States, and it's the same in most countries, but the US has specific documents around it. You need an invoice to know the value of the goods. You need packing list to know what the officer can expect to find if they open the container. You need a bill of lading to know what the carrier, who's the carrier and where, how it's been transported and where it comes from. And you need an import declaration in order to give a pass, basically a release. For customs to decide whether you're allowed to import. And then you need a duty declaration in order to say if there's tariffs or anything that needs to go through. Those are the five things, and they're the five things everywhere. Documents that go between parties. So a purchase order is a way for a buyer to indicate what products are being ordered, and so on and so forth. And you also have specific documents that relate to specific products or specific origins. So some products from particular countries require certificates of origin. They require phytosanitary. They require this and that document. And they're all very, very old. And they're established documents for established purposes. So anything beyond that, I just question if it was necessary, it would have already been requested.
I
guess that I think kind
the,
of
the delta
lays out
the last
my
comment is position. Sorry to interrupt. Between your last comment and what I'm thinking is, this is already being required in a different way, and it's required when we're talking about, like, in the case of crossing the CBP, for example, it's the form 7501 is a clear declaration of what are you trying to import, really, right? The point that I'm trying to make here is, in a case where I am a person who is pretty upstream and I want to send my data to somebody, I want to send them a lot of things that are relevant to the import process that they are asking for, but I want to indicate in some way that this specific thing is not the item that is being imported. And the reason that that's relevant here and not relevant in traditional systems is because in traditional systems, I would fill out a form 7501 and just tell you this is what I'm importing, right? And that occurs very late in the process. That occurs when the actual importer is communicating directly with CBP, right? So what I'm trying to clarify is this use case, okay? And this is what I'm trying to, and this is a concrete use case. It's not like, that I'm trying to solve. And maybe the solution is this is an optional thing, but let's just work through and see how we can solve it with both workflows or not, right? And it's, I am a producer of oil. I created a crude oil product that that is representative of a barrel of oil, right? I then take that barrel of oil and I add diluent to it and I dilute it, right? Because oil can't move in its crude oil form, right? This diluent is relevant for my import process and I need to declare it in my import process as where did I get my diluent, because the percentage of my diluent that ends up in the crude oil affects the origin of the crude oil, right? And so I want to say this diluent is from Peru, blah, blah, blah. But the thing that I'm importing that I want you to pay attention to is this crude oil product, not this diluent. This diluent was an add-on that was added to the crude oil product. It is not the primary product being imported, because if it was the primary product being imported, you will charge me taxes directly on it, right? But if it's the crude oil product that's being imported, you just see that crude oil product and you do the normal business, like checks on it, right? Today, how that's being solved is the importer in their entry summary just makes a declaration and says, this is Canadian, right? And it's Canadian. And we put a little bit of diluent in it and it's under the threshold, and that's the entire statement, right? What I want to do in my workflow is provide you with more data that you're asking for, that data, which is information about the diluent directly, right? In a product credential for the diluent. That way you can see a lot more, and you have a lot more very relevant data about the diluent itself without it being, misconstrued as the product that's being imported. And if I just look at the types of the products, maybe this import workflow is for, like, there's no way for me to know from the workflow type whether I am intending to import this crude oil or I'm intending to import this diluent, because they're both going to be going through the same workflow type, if that makes sense. Does that resonate? So what I want to do is make another credential that is a clear statement that says, I am looking to import product XYZ, which was originally a crude oil product that was diluted with product 123, and I am not looking to import product 123. And so when you are assessing my application, Mr. CBP officer or Mr. CBSA officer or whatever, please review this product for compliance checks and apply its like business process. Don't apply the business process on this other product. And obviously, like, this is a very simplistic case that is the baseline for all of them. They're obviously like I can come up with like 10 off the top of my head where I need to give you other background information on other products because this product was transformed or it was commingled with this other product or something like that, where there's, I need to give you more details about a bunch of other products that are part of this import workflow that I need to submit to you, but they're not the product that's being imported, right? And my initial feeling was, well, when you create that product that's being imported, just put a flag on it and say, this is the product that's being imported, yes or no, right? The problem with that is obviously the people who are creating the product are not the people who are importing it, right? Like the producer and the importer are two actually very different people who are doing things at like months apart with very different timelines and that kind of stuff, right? So it's, I need a way after the fact as an importer who is submitting stuff to signify this is the product that I'm intending to import, not these other things that you got as part of this workflow that still are relevant, that you still want to review. They're just not the thing. Does that make sense?
And that's so you would use the intent to import to filter all the information that's been provided and say, and just focus on the one.
This is the primary all that information.
Okay. I had certainly not understood that intention.
But does that resonate with you? Does that make sense? And so, to me, the intent to import could become optional. Like, I don't see this being used in every workflow, right? In most, like, I can envision a scenario where by default, if there's no intent to import credential, I am assuming all the product credentials in this workflow are intended to be imported, right? As long as it has the correct legal disclaimer, we're good. Whereas, if an intent to import exists, then restrict the subset to these ones.
But we had, you started out listing three different requirements, and now you're moving away from one, the legal disclaimer. And I think let's stick with that. I would push back on going away from
one. I'm not moving away from one. I 100% want the legal disclaimer.
You said it could be optional.
I'm saying the intent, I guess we're using the different language. To me, legal disclaimer is a new disclaimer new credential that we're writing that is just the legal disclaimer, right? An intent to import credential is a new credential that we're writing that is, I intend to import these specific three products. And then the product credentials are their own thing, right? Sorry, I'm just trying to, we're reusing terms, which is very
okay. Right? Okay. It's that part of the credential. Let's go into solutioning mode. Why are we attempting to do these three different things in one and the same credential? If we just split this apart.
Yeah, we're saying
three
credentials.
No.
That's what we're saying. Sorry, maybe I wasn't clear. Okay. I hate that an intent to import credential today does too many things. We want it to be, I have a legal disclaimer credential, net new credential. I have an intent to import credential, net new credential. Like it's separate thing with a separate credential ID. And then I have product credentials that represent the product and they're referenced by the intent to import credential. And that's it. And there's three credentials. Does that make sense?
How about it? Okay. So the intent to import is sort of settled. Can we stick with that and make that the legal disclaimer and call the other one something else?
Sure. So you want one to be, that's fine. You want one to be intent to import, to be some new fun name.
Yeah, exactly.
And three is no changes.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yes. That would be amazing. Yeah. Yes.
I have no
argument.
No.
Amazing.
Let's
do it. I that makes me very happy. Can I give you I'm going to sound old and wise or stupid or something here, but I think it sounds a little naive what you're describing to me. It's fine. You could do the credential, work it into a workflow. We can talk about that also. But I think the idea that people are just so eager to provide additional data, so much data that we need to filter.
But it's not additional.
Filter it's, part of it away. That okay. seems a
like, okay, here, here's,
I
like,
just don't see
I'm
that
giving
happening
it today.
In the real world.
Well, what's happening today in my world right now is I am submitting too much data in one workflow because there are transformations that happen to the product that I am being asked to show the history of, right? The problem is a crude oil barrel is a unit of accounting, really. It's not a real representation of the physical product, like in today's world, right? Not in the what we're trying to do. And because of that, if you try and trace back its history, it's like non-existent, really, because it gets created when things are pulled together at a pipeline. It doesn't exist before that point, right? And what we're doing today is we're working with producers and we're working with transporters and we're working with pipelines and refiners, etc., in order to build that full end-to-end history. And to do that, I need a way for a producer to say, hey, here's a thing that I want to include in the workflow to help you give the full history of it, but this is not intended to be imported in any way, right? Like when the importer comes in, they want to say, I know you already received these specific products. These were not the imported. These are the raw materials. I want to mark them as such. And these are the ones that are intended to be imported. And it sounds like, oh, you can just have a business process and like it'll identify raw materials from non-raw materials, but that doesn't actually work in actuality because a lot, like these things get transformed way too much for that to really make sense. But I mean, I appreciate your point of like, hey, I mean, it is like pulling teeth, getting people to submit stuff that they weren't already submitting. Yeah, of course it's pulling teeth, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What are you going to do? Okay.
It also sounds like this ideally is more vertical specific what this requirement does because, well, at least it sounds like this was another argument I didn't really get to is how to identify a product because that means a lot of things. I know steel the best and to identify and describe a steel product, there's a very big complex credential for that, which is the mill test report. Steel is not just steel and a bar is not just a bar. It has grades and it has a whole standard and it's got tons of standards to describe what product is. And that was like an argument I didn't get to is how would we bake all that in? Like, what does product mean? And I'm just saying that
now. We're talking IDs. We're talking an ID that's an external reference to another credential. It's like, so this new credential schema that we're talking about is, in my mind, it's an array of product, like credential IDs that exist within this workflow that you can use to filter for relevant credentials. That's it.
Yeah.
It's weird because we don't have a way to message with this API that's like, hey, ignore these ones or focus on these ones or anything like that. It's like our messages are credentials.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's why it's like a weird shoehorny thing. Right?
Okay. Yeah, I see that.
All right, so I'm just writing out a comment that says what we just talked about. So yeah. One, we have an intent to import credential, which is the exact same as the current intent to import credential, right? Intent to import, which acts as a legal disclaimer, right?
Yes.
And then we have this new credential schema, TBD on the name, which is an optional credential to signify that this import workflow is about credentials with IDs 1, 2, 3, right? Like in an array. Oh, I lost my thingy. It is 1, 2, 3 in an array, right? And then
you can't see
three...
what you're typing.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Let me share my screen. I guess that would make life a lot easier. Oh, I guess I can't even.
You can just put the comment.
I can just. Okay. I mean, you guys can just react to it, right?
Yeah.
But, and then the third one, product credentials do not change. Credentials, others do not need to change. So really what we're saying is we're proposing a new credential. We don't know the name of it. And it's just an optional credential used to signify this import workflow is really about credentials with IDs 1, 2, 3, right? That's what Brent and I's use cases have.
All right.
Then we can keep intent to import as is, right? And the reason I wanted to split them as well is because I don't know credentials 1, 2, 3 when I make the intent to import declaration, right? Because maybe I have an intent to import and it's like the initial disclaimer, right? Maybe I have that 2 months before I know what the final product credential is going to be, right? Yeah. And so I just want it later, right? I want the opportunity to have them separated from each other. And I guess that solves that. All right. Well, I guess that's the big issue. Were there any other issues that you guys wanted to talk about, really?
Brent, are you cool with this?
Yes.
Amazing. So simple.
I mean, we've debated it to death, right, at this point. Like, it's, yeah. This is, yeah. But I'm proud of it. Like, I like it. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, me too. I'm not going to challenge new credentials and certainly not new innovative approaches. I, the old grumpy guy asking if this was truly required to do this filtering, why is that not just another field on the, I don't know, the entry form or somewhere?
Because the entry summary credential is 1-to-1 today with the entry summary document, right? Like, yes, the actual form that CBP or whatever have. Yeah. And ideally, this goes there. But I think it's a lot cleaner to have it be 1-to-1 with that, right? Like, I'd rather not, if it's a document credential, i.e. it represents a paper document, it feels, I think, really bad to modify it from the paper document.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just seems very wrong. But yes, like, the point in, actually, maybe not even, because sometimes I know these credentials before I have an entry filled out or submitted or whatever. Sometimes, like, in a month or so. But, I mean, yes, right? Conceptually, to your question, yes, it could have easily been an array field on an entry summary.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's just, yeah. And we have a entry summary ID thing, right? Like, we have an entry summary credential that's just an ID of the entry summary that is ours.
Yeah.
We could just repurpose that.
Oh, please, no.
But I don't, I'm not saying we should. I'm not saying we should. I'm just saying, like, conceptually,
yeah,
that would fulfill the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? But no, I think we're adding a net new thing here.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sticking with it.
No, please.
I'm just genuinely trying to understand the situation you're describing. So could this be a case of I have scrap metal and I'm melting the scrap metal and I'm then making coils out of it or whatever. And I could inform customs about the scrap metal,
mm-hmm,
half a year in advance. Like, I just purchased 50 containers worth of scrap metal, old bicycles and whatnot. Here you go. I'm telling you about that. And then later on, the coils come around and I reference the scrap metal. And I say, but that's not, you don't focus on the scrap metal, focus on the coils, because that's what I'm intending to import. Is that?
Yes. 100, that's 100% an analogy of what we're talking about. The difference is, I think today in the steel examples, like, nobody really cares about the scrap metal. Like, I'm just guessing, right? Like the import agencies,
yeah,
they only really care about the coils, right?
Yeah.
In the oil use case, they do care about the scrap metal equivalent.
Right.
Because that's data they never had before, but it's the biggest quote unquote threat vector. Cause that's how you get around sanctions, really. Like, that's the
right.
That's
and,
the problem
and
that a lot of these people have. Yeah.
And generally the focus, like the whole origin and well, indeed traceability, of products will be, you know, it's only getting more and more important and getting more and more attention. So I, you know, mm-hmm, this is something we do want to support. And
yeah.
Yeah. Great.
It's how do I give you more information about the provenance of this specific product?
Yes.
But also telling you this is provenance data, not import data. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really what we're trying to say.
Have you looked at product passports? Because that's what this sounds like.
Yeah, but the problem is I don't want the producer to know anything at all about what this product is being used. Like, there's a privacy concern here where the producer has no idea that this product is going to be used for domestic use or whatever, right? He just knows I'm producing scrap metal, right? And I'm sending it to this other factory, and what they do is entirely up to them, right? If they melt it and make it into coils, they make it melt it into whatever. Yeah. I don't care. I just have a contract with my scrap metal factory where I send them X scrap metal every whatever, right? And they're creating a product credential for the scrap metal, or in your case, they're creating like the mill test report for the scrap metal, right? That's the tricky part to me.
Yeah.
So I have absolutely loved this conversation. I like the place that we've gotten to. What specifically needs to be done to the traceability vocab document, and who's going to do it?
Two things need to be created, to be done. One, we need to create this new, like, we need to agree on a name for this new credential that we're talking about. And then two, we need to have an example workflow of someone using it in the vocab. Is there anything else that anybody can think of?
That sounds right to me.
Yeah. Sounds very good.
Yeah. So I guess next steps. One, find a good name for this new credential. Two, create a credential schema and add an example workflow to the Trace vocab. As for who's gonna do it, I'm assuming it's probably gonna be me. I'm guessing.
I love that assumption.
Because I assumed that you didn't want to do it from the question. And I'm assuming this, I mean, it's not really this who needs it at all. It's either me or you.
It sounds also like you just have a very in-depth understanding of what needs to happen to describe
and hatred of this thing. Yeah.
So
I agree with that.
I'm happy to take this. I just need help with bike shedding names for this if either of you has a good idea. Because I had the legal disclaimer / intent to import, like, in my head as the way you break it down. Mm. But I'm with you, Ness. Like, if you change the name of what a thing is, people are going to get confused. Yeah. And 100% I agree with that. But now I'm back to, like...
Yeah, you know, it was one. Yeah, it would have been better naming that way, but yeah.
Yeah.
What can we...
My suggestion is create the flow and... As you go through describing the flow, write down whatever dumb name comes to mind, and we'll tell you if we hate it. And if we do hate it, we have to come up with a better suggestion.
I think that's a good way to handle it. Okay. So I'm going to assign myself. I'm going to be honest. I don't think I'm going to be able to touch this in August at all. I think if I'm going to touch this, it's probably going to be September at the earliest. I know we just started August, but I have some vacation days coming up, and it is looking like sadness until those vacation days. So that's really where I am. But I don't know if this is super urgent. Do you guys think it's like
no.
We did this yesterday?
I don't.
Other than I'm getting a little pushback from still continuing to attend these meetings, and the sooner we can get a 1.0 published and I don't have to attend these meetings, the more the better.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're pretty close, right? Like, I'll do my best to get it in ASAP. Right. Okay. Well, this was fun. I guess we have a little bit of extra time. Do you guys want to go through something else, or do you have anything else you want to bring up, or?
I'm good to wrap it up.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. Let's call it a day. Thank you guys for joining, and we'll talk soon.
Yep. Good one.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Bye.